The Magic Miner's Lantern, A Winter Tale. It was a cold and frosty start to December. Bolsover was beginning to feel the chill of winter settling over the town. In all of his 8 long years, Samuel had never felt so cold and lonely. Even the games that were being organised by Matron at the orphanage were failing to lift his spirits. He'd seen quite a few bad winters, but it wasn't just the cold reaching into his toes and fingers as he lay in bed in the dormitory every night. It was a different kind of coldness, one that got into his heart and hung heavily across his bones. Samuel was an orphan. He had lost his mother when he was 2 and lived with his father ever since, until working in the mine had taken its toll and his father had died just weeks before. All he had left was the miner's lantern to remind him of his father and life before the orphanage. Each night he would light the lantern, its warm glow making him feel closer to his father. But when the light went out, the sadness came back. The orphanage was an unforgiving place. No laughter was heard within the tall walls of the large house that sat high upon the hill behind high metal gates. The vast dormitory with its windows that rattled in the wind was always cold. The thin blankets barely covered the children's feet, and even in summer everyone shivered in the clothes they were given. The long wooden benches in the dining room felt hard and uncomfortable, where the children ravenously ate as quickly as they could before the bullies stole their food. So far, Samuel had managed to avoid the bigger kids who picked on the sad and scrawny ones, reliving their own pain and loneliness by punching or tripping up a small child just to torment them. Samuel took care to hide his precious lantern every night before he fell asleep to make sure it would always be there the next morning. It was unusual for Samuel to take the lantern into the garden, but one day he did. He'd found a large apple tree to take shelter and hide himself from everyone else. As the wind started to bite through his threadbare coat, Samuel lit the lantern and closed his eyes. He wanted so much to be with his father that his heart ached more than ever before.
"Dad, if you can hear me, I just want you to know I really wish I could see you," Samuel whispered. "Like it used to be when I were at home and you were here. I wish, I wish."
As Samuel opened his eyes, everything around him had changed. He sat up and looked around him. The apple tree was still there, but everything else was different. There was a soft, warm light that seemed to glow from every surface. The sky was full of stars twinkling gently overhead. He stood up and saw floating lanterns drifting through the air, beckoning Samuel to follow them. After a short while, he found himself outside a magnificent toy shop, the likes of which he could never have imagined. Somehow, it didn't even look like it should stand up, with its crooked walls, strange-shaped windows, and a tall clock tower where the clock hands were spinning backwards whilst playing merry tunes. Just as he stretched out his hand to the door, he creaked open and he stepped inside. Strangely, inside the shop seemed much bigger than it looked from the outside. The shelves stretched up impossibly high, filled with toys of every shape and colour. To his amazement, Samuel realised that many of the toys were alive. They moved and turned around of their own free will. Toy soldiers marched in formation. Farm animals mooed, clucked and scampered as model trains chugged along tracks that were weaving through the air. Hanging from the ceiling was a large glowing star with a sign hung underneath saying, "Whisper your wishes here." After exploring the shop, Samuel spotted a swarm of furry, friendly, glowing moths who were inviting him to leave the shop. Intrigued by the amazing shapes and patterns the moths made as they flew around him, he danced and laughed with his new moth friends. As the clock struck 10, Samuel realised he'd been away for quite a long time. He looked around, wondering how to get back, and saw a path leading to the apple tree. Clutching the lantern, he walked along the path, leaving the moths and toy shop behind. As he reached the apple tree, he found he was back in the orphanage garden. He wondered if he'd fallen asleep and had not actually been anywhere, till he looked at the lantern and saw the faint outline of a furry moth reflected in the glass. It was real. He smiled to himself and felt much happier until he sensed something was wrong. He was being watched. Looking up, Samuel saw a towering, silvery, white figure looming over him. At that moment, he heard a cracking, splintering noise as the whole garden rapidly iced over. In the blink of an eye, everything was deeply frozen. Samuel started shivering from head to toe as a loud cackle of laughter cracked across the sky above him. He could not believe his eyes.
"Are you the boy with the lantern? The boy who's spoiling my winter?"
Samuel gasped as he heard her booming voice. He looked at the lantern. To his horror, he saw the flame had been snuffed out as the world had frozen over. He shook his head and quickly put the lantern under his coat, hoping the terrifying apparition hadn't noticed.
"How dare you try and trick me, child? I will not allow your precious lantern to bring warmth and break my icy spell, banishing me to eternal mild winters. Your little town of Bolsover will see the cruelest and harshest winter in living memory. As for your lantern, it's useless to you. I have extinguished it, and it will never light again."
As he watched, the Ice Queen turned around, raised her arm, and reached out across the town below the orphanage. Her icy influence spread as far as he could see, and the whole town became completely frozen over. Samuel cried out as he heard the distant steam train grinding to a halt, its wheels frozen to the track before an unearthly silence descended. Samuel looked back at the Ice Queen and heard a strange scraping noise as she shimmered away across the sky toward the north. Within moments, there was no sign of her.
"What's happening?"
said a voice behind him. Samuel turned around and saw Nancy, a girl who'd arrived at the orphanage a few days ago. She was wrapped in a wool blanket but was still shivering in the freezing garden. Samuel admired her bravery for daring to come outside as the catastrophe was unfolding.
"I were watching through the window," said Nancy. "I saw the sky. One minute it were cloudy and then it were frozen. I've never seen anything like it."
I think this is all my fault," said Samuel.
"Oh, don't be daft, Samuel. How could it be your fault?
Come inside before you freeze." Reluctantly, Samuel nodded and followed her as he realised he could no longer feel his toes in his boots. That night, Samuel hardly slept a wink. Not only was he the coldest he'd ever been, whilst he'd managed to save his lantern from the clutches of the Ice Queen, the flame had been extinguished. After sharing a cup of cocoa with Nancy, which made him feel a bit better, he carefully stowed the lantern under his bed in its usual place and tried to sleep. He hadn't told Nancy about the magical land, his encounter with the Ice Queen, nor that his father's lantern might be the reason for her freezing over the whole town. All the thoughts swirled around his head again and again. It was only when he heard the creak of the floorboard next to his bed that he stopped thinking as all his senses became alert. He opened his eyes and in the gloom saw George, one of the older boys who was the nastiest bully in the orphanage. Samuel couldn't believe it. He was rummaging under his bed, looking for the lantern. How dare he? Before he had time to think, Samuel had jumped up, making a noise he didn't even think he was capable of. A mix of a shout and a growl that sent George dashing to the other side of the room and out of the door. Samuel reached under the bed and checked. The lantern was still there. As he tried to get some sleep, still feeling unsettled, Samuel opened his eyes to look out of the window at the dark night. He blinked. Was that the shape of the Ice Queen in the moonlight sky watching him? The next morning, there was an uncomfortable mood around the orphanage. The pipes had frozen. There was ice on the inside of the windows, and to add to the chill, Matron was in a thunderous mood. Samuel had disturbed everyone the night before, and some of the younger children had been up and crying, forcing Matron out of bed to sort everything out. George had reported Samuel for causing trouble, so Samuel was on his last warning as far as Matron was concerned. Anything else, and he'd be forced to do extra chores for the whole week. Nancy found Samuel later that morning in the garden under the apple tree. He was exceptionally glum. He told her about what had happened with George trying to steal the lantern. Whilst Nancy liked the lantern, she couldn't understand why George would risk being punished by trying to steal it, as they all knew Matron had a bad temper. "George wants to upset me, as he knows how much I love this lantern. I know you don't think it's special, but you'd be amazed. Do you want to know a secret?"
"Of course," she said.
"Then help me light the lantern and I'll show you something very special. Something you could never imagine," said Samuel. Intrigued, Nancy took the lantern and for the next half an hour, both of them tried their hardest to light the lantern, to no avail. Samuel's mood darkened as he cast the lantern aside.
"What's wrong, Samuel?" asked Nancy. "It's only a lantern. I know you said it's special, but to me it just looks like an old miner's lantern, just like any other."
Affronted, Samuel let Nancy know the lantern belonged to his father and it was precious. Whilst Nancy was sympathetic to Samuel's attachment to the lantern and his father, she was unimpressed by his claims.
"Okay," said Samuel. "You won't believe this, but all the frost and ice you can see around you is because of me and this lantern."
Nancy told Samuel he was being ridiculous and over-imaginative. This made Samuel even more determined to light the lantern, to no avail.
"Oh, come on, Samuel, stop mucking about. Are you going to light it or not? Can't you just do something?"
"So if you're so clever, Nancy, what are you going to do?"
"Well, I don't know. If my mother were here, she'd know what to do. She always knew what to do," she faltered.
"Where's your mother?"
"Don't be stupid, Samuel. If she were alive, I wouldn't be here, would I?"
Samuel fell silent and looked at Nancy. He realised he'd really upset her.
"Sorry."
She shrugged, but he could see tears in her eyes.
I am sorry. Can you tell me about her?"
After a few minutes, Nancy began to talk. She said her mother was clever and wise and funny. She always knew how to make things better.
"So what happened?"
"When she had my little brother, it made her really sick. She never got better. He's in here too in the nursery. He's called Thomas."
"Couldn't your father look after you both?"
"He died down the mine a few months before Thomas were born. There were a flood in the pit and he couldn't get out."
They both fell silent. Samuel looked over at the lantern. He was sure he could see a tiny glimmer.
"Look, look." "How did that happen?" asked Nancy.
Samuel thought for a moment and remembered something. "Last time I talked to the lantern when I were missing my father, it lit up all on its own, just like now, and then I went to..."
"Here! Nancy, say something more about your mother."
Nancy reached over and picked up the lantern. Yes, there was a light in there, but it was still very dim. She started to speak, telling Samuel about the time her mother baked biscuits for all the children at the Sunday school. The glow of the lantern grew, and by the time Nancy had finished the story, it was fully glowing. Samuel was sure he felt a little bit warmer.
"Hang on. What's happened?"
Nancy looked around.
"This isn't Bolsover."
"No, it isn't," replied Samuel, pointing to a large sign illuminated hanging over the fantastical toy shop that said, Welcome to Lumina, the home to the best toy shop in all of the land.
Lumina? What's Lumina?
I don't know, but it's an amazing place. And we got here when the lantern allowed us to with its magic light. Now can you see why it was so important for us to light it? Come on, let me show you around. You'll love it. As they made their way round, Nancy's eyes widened with joy and amusement. Like Samuel, she couldn't believe what she saw. It was so fantastical. She spotted the entrance to a rabbit burrow, surrounded by beautiful spring flowers. She walked over, and just as she got to the large hole, she spotted rabbits, but no ordinary bunnies. These were whisper rabbits, known as Fluffles, that bounced over to her and nuzzled against her legs, making her heart glow. She played with them for a while, till Samuel insisted they go inside the toy shop. Nancy stood in amazement. There was every toy she could ever have imagined, in every shape and every colour. Each time she thought she'd reached the back of the shop, there was another twist and turn as she found herself in a completely different section. Standing guard over all of the toy treasures was Eric, the plush guardian of all the teddies. Eric's job as a life-size living teddy bear was to give out hugs to anyone who wanted one. Nancy and Samuel took turns to see who could get the most hugs. They both felt full to the brim with joy and happiness. After what felt like hours and hours in the shop, the friends decided they needed a little rest and a cup of frothy hot chocolate. Nibbling on some delicious quadruple chocolate biscuits, they chattered excitedly about what they'd seen and experienced. Until a huge clap of thunder suddenly rang out. Samuel and Nancy jumped up in shock. They couldn't believe what they saw. At first, they thought it was a huge icicle pointing at them, until they realised it was a giant finger with the sharpest pointed fingernail they'd ever seen. It was attached to the hand of the Ice Queen, who seemed to fill the whole shop, every nook and cranny, and was looming down on them. Her terrible shrill laughter enveloped them in the coldest icy breath they'd ever witnessed.
Samuel, said Nancy in a quiet voice looking at him. What on earth is that?
Don't listen to him, Nancy Heath. If you want to know something, ask me. Let me introduce myself. Some call me the Ice Queen, others their worst wintry nightmare, or the grimmest Christmas anyone could imagine. My temper is legendary and my patience ice thin. Cross me and you'll never, ever feel warm again.
Nancy gasped.
Hand over the lantern so I can stop my icy world from melting, or the plush guardian will be shredded and end up being used to stuff cushions.
No!
Shouted Samuel.
Why do you want our lantern if you're so powerful?
You have the audacity to challenge my power. How do you think your insignificant little town of Bolzova ended up a frozen wasteland?
That were you, replied Nancy.
That child was nothing. The coal will have run out by midnight, and then, with no fires to warm them, your fellow townsfolk will soon freeze to death in the boots they stand up in.
No! Shouted Samuel and Nancy in unison. They looked at each other and then over at Eric, the plush guardian. They ran over to him, each grabbed a paw, and all together pushed their way out of the toy shop through an invisible door that only Eric knew was there. They all ran as fast as they could to the edge of Lumina. Without any warning, Eric scooped them up and gently placed them over the boughs of the tree they'd not noticed. Nancy looked around her. Eric was gone, and she and Samuel were sitting at the foot of the apple tree in the orphanage garden.
It's all right, Nancy, we're back. We've left the Ice Queen behind, and I've still got the lantern.
Samuel smiled, relief in his face. Nancy stood up and shivered as she realised it was still very cold in Bolsover. She looked towards the town below.
That's very strange, Samuel. Look, there's a huge queue of people outside the pit gates.
There must have been hundreds of people quietly waiting their turn, each holding a lantern. As they watched, they realised each person was holding a small bucket.
The coal's running out, said Samuel. Just like the Ice Queen said, everyone's gonna freeze to death.
His words were nearly drowned out by the loud clang of iron gates closing, followed by desperate cries of the townsfolk.
It's all gone, said Nancy.
Yes, Nancy, that's right. It is all gone, so what are you going to do now?
Said a loud, cackly Ice Queen. She was in front of them, grinning nastily.
It's not our fault the coal's all gone. We're not responsible, said Samuel.
But if you give me the lantern, I'll make sure everyone is warm enough this winter,
snapped the Ice Queen, staring into Samuel's eyes. He flinched and then started to lift the lantern up towards her.
Yes, yes, give it to me,
shouted the Ice Queen.
No!
Nancy's cry rang out. Samuel dropped his arm and looked at Nancy.
It's okay, I won't. I felt my hand moving towards her, but I won't, Nancy, I won't give it to her.
His voice grew stronger and louder as he spoke and turned defiantly to the Ice Queen. The Ice Queen grew even taller, towering over them, and began to unleash her fury. Her sharp fingers flew to the sky as a trio of icy-ridden thunderbolts turned the sky blue to white to blue again and exploded, sending icy hail across the sky. Samuel couldn't believe his eyes as he saw an enormous ice claw thrust through the clouds and gave the Ice Queen a huge icy spear. She took it with a cackle, hammering into the ground in front of her. It instantly grew into a menacing ice tree, with sharp shards of spiky branches pointing in all directions.
This is the first of many Isel-Geisel trees. Before you know it, this land will be covered in a forest of them. Nothing will grow. They will never melt, and everyone will perish. But it won't end there, Samuel. The forest will spread across Derbyshire and across the whole of England.
The Ice Queen's voice rose higher and higher and then fell silent. She turned to Samuel and bent down so low that her frozen breath turned his cheek blue in an instant.
This is all you're doing, Samuel, she whispered into his ear. And you can stop it. Now, give up that lantern and it'll all be over.
Samuel was shaking all over, but not from fear. Her words had sent a cold wave through him from his head to boot, shaking him to his bones. Nancy ran over to Samuel, grabbing his hand to drag him away from the Ice Queen. As she pulled him towards her, she shouted,
Look at the lantern! It's glowing!
Get away from him now,
screeched the Ice Queen. At the same time, they both turned to look at each other.
Friendship, said Samuel. Caring about each other, replied Nancy. That's what she's afraid of. That's what the lantern is telling us. That's why she hates it so much and has to destroy it.
That's it, Nancy. From the beginning, the lantern has been there for me. When I've been sad, happy, and when I've needed to remember my father, said Samuel. It took me to Lumina and raised my spirits. When the Ice Queen stopped it working, it lit up when you told me about your mother and how you were feeling. It knows what's in our heart.
Stop! Stop!
Ice Queen stomped her huge icy boots and she shouted so loudly that her voice echoed across the sky, sending tantrum tremors across the universe.
Look, the
Geisel tree is melting. Look, Samuel. The lantern's light is even stronger. Look at the Ice Queen.
Look at her face, Nancy, said Samuel.
Are you crying?
He said to the Ice Queen, who had stopped looming over them.
No, I'm not crying. I'm melting, you fool. I will not be destroyed by your stupid sentimentality.
But these are things we care about, said Samuel. And we don't want to destroy you. We just want you to stop making it so cold and making everyone suffer.
But it's my job to make the world cold every winter, and I'm very, very good at it.
We don't mind winter, but not the world frozen over, said Nancy.
You've gone too far this year, Ice Queen. The whole town has run out of coal and we can't stay warm.
Oh, you children are never satisfied. You want snow to make your snowmen. You have snowball fights, but then you complain when it's a bit too cold.
But can't you see how terrible it is for everyone? Now you've frozen balls over, asked Samuel.
Well, I wouldn't have had to do that if it hadn't been for your precious lantern. I was planning on having a good hard winter this year with plenty of ice, hoarfrost, and yes, some good snowfall for you. But every time I got started, that flaming lantern stopped me by warming everything up again. Surely you can see why that would make me so cross and that I had to go to such extremes and turn everything to ice.
She fell silent, and Samuel noticed that she had shrunken to half her size. He started to feel a bit sorry for her. We don't hate everything about winter and the snow and the ice, he said.
Exactly. I've seen the pleasure you get from playing in the snow, and what about when you get ice cream for pudding? Who do you think is responsible for that? Ungrateful!
Is that you? Said Nancy.
Well, I am the Queen of Ice, which means I'm also very good at keeping things cold all year round.
All right. So why can't cold and warm exist in harmony? Said Nancy. We can keep the lantern and you can keep the ice in winter and maybe even all year round.
All year round? How would that ever work in Bolsover? Don't you realise that as soon as spring is on the way, I have to go to the frozen north and bide my time all alone until autumn has finished his job? And I can come back to create winter.
Hold on. But what if you made ice cream all year? Said Samuel. Then we'd all be happy. Even you.
You could open the biggest ice cream shop ever in Lumina. And we could help you bring the ice cream back to Bolsover.
That's a ridiculous idea, said the Ice Queen. I do have other places in the world I have to go to anyway where winter has to happen. So I can't just stay here and run a shop all the time.
I know just the person who can work with you. The plush guardian. I'm sure Eric will step in and keep the shop open whilst you're doing your winter job elsewhere. And so the deal was made. The Ice Queen opened the Icicles on Nicicles ice cream shop in Lumina, with Eric the plush guardian making the ice cream, staffing the shop and arranging deliveries of delicious ice cream in all flavours to Bolsover and the surrounding areas. And the moths willingly flew supplies across the sky. The Ice Queen found fame and celebrity status by becoming the face of Icicles, our Nicicles ice cream. Posters and banners were put up across the land featuring her and Eric in various poses with various flavours. As for Nancy and Samuel, their friendship grew stronger and stronger. They found themselves the most popular children in the orphanage as their reputation for bringing ice cream to Bolsover grew.
Yum, yum, yummy.
Whenever they felt lonely or sad, they would go to the apple tree, light the lantern and remember the family they'd lost as well as the new family they had found. From then on, not only did they have the best ice cream all year round, but they also enjoyed fabulous winters with just the right amount of snow for great winter fun and a happy Christmas. That year, the Bolsover Colliery Band stood under the boughs of the apple tree in the orphanage garden and played songs and carols. Just as Samuel thought there couldn't possibly be any more good surprises with how everything had turned out, there was one last delight in store. One afternoon in the week before Christmas, when the brass band was playing away in the garden and everyone was eating Christmas pudding ice cream, he noticed a tall figure dressed from head to toe in a frosty gown with a beautiful silver headdress. She was standing at the back as the crowd sang along. She was smiling and almost imperceptibly opening her mouth as if she was singing. Moving slowly, Samuel worked his way to the back and towards the Ice Queen, hoping she wouldn't notice him. As he approached, he started to hear the most beautiful, quiet, soulful voice he had ever known. As he arrived by her side, she turned and he smiled at her and nodded. Smiling back, she pushed her chin up and her face towards the sky as her voice became louder and louder, harmonizing with the other voices. The Ice Queen created a magical sound that filled the whole garden. Samuel started to laugh to himself, thinking he'd never forget this moment in his whole life. Before long, more people joined the concerts, drawn by the addition of their new soloist, who especially enjoyed singing Walking in a Winter Wonderland as loud as her voice would carry. The end.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go.